My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We go to Pittsburgh, we go to Cincinnati, but first we go to Baltimore. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, where Lamar Jackson is ranked one of the very tippy top players in all the NFL. But is there consternation amongst the fan base with Lamar here, Bob, about getting them deeper to the playoffs? Should I just say a Super Bowl?
Well, that's the narrative. They could go 17-0. He could win the Most Valuable Player Award unanimously, lead the league in every category. But if they lose another playoff game, especially a home playoff game, none of that's going to matter. This stage of the Lamar Harbaugh era, it's all about Super Bowls. You heard John Harbaugh a couple of weeks ago say that Lamar is the best quarterback in the history of the NFL, or the plan is for him to become that, not to put any more pressure on the guy. But yes, unless they at least get to the Super Bowl, this season will be dubbed a disappointment for all parties involved, unfairly or fairly, including Lamar Jackson, especially him.
Well, we like to play the game in Cleveland every year. Are the Browns more talented going into this year than we were last year? And inevitably, the fans say, oh, more talented this year almost every single year. Can they say that right now with the Ravens, though, considering the amount of guys that left after last year?
I think the secondary is better. Well, they just lost Arthur Millett yesterday, maybe for a long time, so there's a knock to the depth. But Nate Wiggins has lived up to the first-round hype. But Marlon Humphrey's been outstanding in training camp so far. Brandon Stevens had the breakout in the secondary, in the safety position, rather. Hamilton's a stud. Marcus Williams is good. The question is keeping him on the field healthy. He played basically with one arm last year because of his shoulder. They got Eddie Jackson, so they're good there. The concern with them defensively is who's replacing the 9.5 sacks that they got from Jadeveon Clowney. Keep waiting for Adafe Owe to be that guy. He hasn't been. He has 13 on his career, which is now 3 years in. David Ajabo, who they thought they got as a steal coming out of Michigan in the second round because he got hurt during his pro day. He's been hurt here in Baltimore. They're getting Adisa Isaac back, third-round pick out of Penn State. But to realistically expect Kyle Van Noy to get 9 sacks when they literally got him off the couch to come in and provide that level of production, I don't know if that's realistic. So pass rush is the major concern for them defensively right now.
Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as the Ravens will host the Philadelphia Eagles at 7:30 p.m. coming up on Friday. Zay Flowers, year two, what's expected out of him?
Level up. I mean, he had 77 catches last year, 5 touchdowns, over 800 yards receiving. He only averaged, air quotes, 11.2 or whatever it was, yards per reception. So they're trying to get that up into maybe the 13-yard per catch range, be more explosive, throwing the ball down the field. If there is a real criticism of Lamar Jackson, he hasn't been real accurate throwing the deep ball during his career or outside the numbers as well. So got to tighten that up. But going into year seven, I mean, how much better can he get in that area? But Zay Flowers is expected to move up big time in production. You're getting Andrews back healthy for an entire season. And when Andrews went down, got hurt in that Bengals game on Thursday Night Football, Isaiah Likely came in and played like an all-pro. So one of the narratives here in Baltimore, guys, is can Todd Monken get Likely and Andrews on the field at the same time and be productive as well? But Flowers, Likely, and Andrews, there's a pretty strong trio of pass catchers right there.
I mean, we're going to ask all of our panelists, our esteemed panelists on Inside around the AFC North. So I'll ask you, got to get the preposition right. I'll ask you, Bob. Brandon Ayuk, would you be more scared of the Browns if they end up with the talented 49ers receiver in a trade?
I would be more scared if it's Deshaun Watson, who was the quarterback of the Houston Texans, throwing him the football, would put some fear there. So I don't know what Watson's – I guess he's been cleared with his shoulder, and I don't know how he's throwing there at training camp. But if Cleveland ever gets him back to any semblance of what he was with the Texans, they as a team – become scarier, and absolutely Ayuk would be a great addition to it. But didn't he kind of thrive more with Brock Purdy than he did anybody else? So maybe, you know, minus Purdy, you know, Ayuk isn't the superpower that he was.
Bob,
but yes, to answer your question, sure.
I'm sorry, Bob. Now I can let you go. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as the Ravens get set to host the Philadelphia Eagles coming up on Friday night. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 down in Cincinnati as the Bengals get ready for their preseason matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Saturday afternoon or Saturday evening at 7 p.m. And Mo, is there a conversation at all about Joe Burrow being a little bit injury-prone here, that he's been hurt two out of his first, what, 4 years now?
Yeah, there has to be, right? Yeah. I mean, in half of his NFL seasons, he hasn't finished his NFL season. And you add that to, you know, the calf issue that kept him from being very effective at the beginning of last season. If you want to roll the appendectomy that he dealt with 2 years ago into the conversation, I guess you can do that. Look, he's never had a normal offseason slash training camp. This training camp has been as normal as any that he's ever gone through. Now, you know, COVID had something to do with that, obviously, his first year. Sure. I mean, I think one of the interesting things about this season is how much does that get kicked into hyperdrive if we see the same sort of outcome where he deals with the kind of injury that ends his season prematurely or obviously keeps him out for a long stretch of time. But I don't know how you talk about Joe Burrow without mentioning a pretty significant early injury history in his four-year career.
Well, a lot of that, I think, also comes down to wondering if they can protect him in general with the offensive line issues. Is this something that the Bengals fans are feeling a little better about going into this season?
Yeah, look, there's a reason why they took Amarius Mims from Georgia in the first round of the draft, right? They want to build. They've never put Joe Burrow behind a good offensive line. Now, last year, you might say they put him behind, you know, basically a league average offensive line. If you're ever long term going to build an elite offensive line, that's got to start in the draft. And so that's why they took Amarius Mims out of Georgia. They want to get to a place where they're not having to spend the offseason signing multiple offensive linemen. I think the good news is the story of camp so far has been what Amarius Mims has looked. There's obviously a major difference between, you know, going through practices and what happened starting on Saturday night. But, yeah, I mean, look, it's not like they haven't tried. If you go back to the Super Bowl season 3 years ago, the offensive line has changed over now 100%. None of those guys are still here. Most of those guys are not in the league. And so it hasn't been because of lack of effort. They spent a lot of money on the offensive line. They've now used a first-round pick on the offensive line. They've just never really been able to put together an elite O-line in front of Joe Burrow. I don't think this year's line is going to be elite by any stretch, but they certainly hope and I think believe that it could be incrementally better than it was last season. And if that's the case, there's a better chance that Joe Burrow stays upright.
What is the conversation down there in Cincinnati about the Ohio State House bill about putting grass, natural grass, on all professional playing surfaces, which would affect Paycor Stadium and the Bengals?
I got to be honest with you. I haven't had one person call to tell me about it.
There's been no conversation down there, really?
None. Zero. Look, the conversation here has been more about, are the Bengals and the county going to get a deal done that keeps them here beyond 2026, because the lease on the stadium is set to expire. There's been a lot of renovations made to the stadium. The last time we went through this, obviously it never got to the point that it did with Art Modell and the city of Cleveland in 1995, but, you know, we dealt with the possibility the Bengals may leave. I certainly don't believe that's going to happen, but when we talk about Paycor Stadium, the conversations are more about, do they rent it? Do they renovate it? And if so, who's going to pay for it? And if they haggle over that, is the lease that they're playing under right now going to expire?
Has there been any, I guess, let me switch it up. Has there been any conversation or comparison with what's going on with Cleveland, the Browns, and the county and everything up here?
Yeah, a little bit. And you have to consider the history of the Bengals and the local leaders here. You know, when they built Paycor Stadium, that came at the end of a very contentious process that ultimately resulted in the Bengals getting perhaps the biggest and greatest sweetheart deal in the history of modern sports. And so, I think frankly, because of the success of the team the last couple of years, there's such a larger appetite to go ahead and publicly fund whatever the Bengals want. But you'll find people in local government who don't have a huge appetite for doing that. And so I think the conversations in the coming years are going to be really interesting. And that 2026 deadline, that's only 3 years away, the end of the 2026 season. And so I think here we're going to have some tough conversations about what Paycor Stadium is going to be like, and more significant, who's going to pay for its next iteration, whether it's a newly refurbished park or a brand new one, where that goes, who pays for it, and how much it's going to cost.
We're in a holding pattern a little bit with Ja'Marr Chase and what deal is going to be made with him. But let me ask you this real quick, and I mean real quick. Who's the bigger threat to you, Brandon Ayuk with the Pittsburgh Steelers or with the Cleveland Browns?
Brandon Ayuk with the Cleveland Browns. They're a better team.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, one of our very favorites down there in the jungle. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Well, you just heard that there, Chris, as we get set to talk to you, and I can talk about Pony sweating it out and all that other stuff. But first, in your head, in your heart, your emotions, what are the odds that by the end of the week, Brandon Ayuk ends up with the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Cleveland Browns? Give me a percentage.
I think the percentage that he's with one of those two teams is like 55%, I guess, because I have to take the Browns seriously as still being in it, Ken. I think, though, that this – we all laugh at Pony. I love giving him a hard time. I feel like everybody does. But he does have good sources, and the little that I've heard independently of what he's been hearing suggests that Ayuk – and this kind of confuses me, kind of based on what we just heard about the Browns being a bigger threat. Ayuk does want to play – for Mike Tomlin. He seems like he wants to play for the Steelers. So my opinion on this is that it's actually more likely that it's either the Niners, he stays there and they just call all of his bluffs and don't want to deal him, or that he actually ends up with the Steelers.
Boy, it is fascinating to me how we've gotten to this point where the Steelers were out, according to some of the reports. The two of us sat here and said, well, that kind of means they're probably just getting back into it. And that's where I wondered if that's where we were at last night. Do you have a gut feeling right now, Chris?
My gut is that it actually does get done. I've moved off of the idea that, like, this is just a boy who cried wolf situation. I actually do think they get it done. I think that the whole the Steelers are out, or all these stories that we're all hearing and reading about how, you know, the Patriots and the Browns have made this offer or whatever, I think that's all just kind of leaking to try to gain leverage by either side, mainly the Niners on him, because I do think they feel they want to trade him. They don't want to just, I think, let him play it out for the year. That would be like their last resort. But I don't think they want to trade. They can't trade him to places he doesn't want to go and sign a contract. So I really do actually think it gets done, which I got to be honest, Tone, like if you had asked me that, you know, whatever, 5 days ago, I'd have said no, and I'm sick of talking about this story because it's not going to happen. I'd have given you the Nick Saban response. Stop asking me. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, so it has changed a lot in a couple of days, and that's just because I think there has been consistent interest from the Steelers that's finally being reciprocated a little more seriously.
Do you get any resentment from the fan base that this is a guy that'd be willing to leave a team that was just in the Super Bowl? Because we've had a little of that.
Like people preemptively saying, what kind of a guy and teammate is this? No, I think people are just so excited because their number two receiver is Van Jefferson right now that even though I don't think Brandon Ayuk, I think he's closer to the 20th best receiver in the league than like the fifth, which is what some people seem to think he is. Even though I don't think he's that good, people just look at what they have right now and they're like, why the hell would we not be excited? You know, we don't care if this guy's like the worst teammate of all time. We still want him on the roster because, God, look at the depth chart otherwise.
Who should start at quarterback week one of the Steelers?
I actually think Wilson should. I just think Fields has the same problems that he's had in Chicago so far, and that's that he's not a very consistent thrower of the ball. He throws a great deep ball. The running is obviously phenomenal, but I know this sounds crazy because it's a much lower ceiling guy. I really do think it should be Russell Wilson. I don't think he's like spectacular, but I think he's going to give them, if they start him, what Kenny Pickett they thought was going to give them, which is solid, steady play where he makes plays, he converts in the red zone, and he doesn't screw up the game. We know they didn't get that, but I think Fields is still too unpolished of a diamond to really trust yet.
Is this a playoff team either way?
I think they're a 10-7 team. I think they're – and what does that get you?
That gets you close. Yeah.
I do – here, the last thing I would say about them is I do think that they have a much more thoughtfully constructed roster. They got holes at wide receiver. They probably have holes still at cornerback that they're hoping they can fill, but it's a much better O-line. The D-line's got to have somebody else besides Benton step up to help Hayward. Mm-hmm. But it is a much more thoughtfully constructed roster, and I do think Arthur Smith's going to help them. So, yeah, I think it's a fringe playoff team.
Has Pony slept at all over the last 48 hours?
No, probably not. No, I can't wait to go in today and just troll him with whatever the latest is and say, ooh, it's about to happen, big guy. Like, I'm very excited to make fun of him.
What are the calls and tweets like? Because, I mean, he said this was at the one-yard line a couple of days ago.
I mean, I think people are, like, kind of in my boat where there's a lot of people who actually share my opinion of Ayuk, that he's not as good as maybe people would want to have you believe. But I think people are just tired and they want to see it. Just, you know, like, make it happen or don't make it happen. But, like, let's not just keep beating around the bush here and having reports about reports where nothing actually...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Actually takes place.
Chris, for the first time in a while, for the first time I can remember, you're actually giving me a talking point instead of you guys stealing your entire show from us.
Wow.
So, thank you very much, Chris.
Congratulations on all my success. Bye now.
Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, part of the great triumvirate that is around the AFC North. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, and Chris Muller as the Steelers get ready to host the Houston Texans coming up at 7 p.m. on Friday. 9 o'clock, Zach Meisel is going to join us on the show. We're going to talk Guardians with him. Starting rotation, 4 games in 3 days, the whole deal. It's all coming up at 9 o'clock. There are 4 games ahead in the Central right now because the Twins played
Twins
last
lost.
Night. They lost
the
last
Cubs.
Night to the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley. We just did around the AFC North, heard what Mo Egger. Do you like what Mo Egger said about their stadium down there, or were you interested by what he said about their stadium? They are watching us very closely up here down in, I think it's Hamilton County, right? They're watching us very closely down there in Cincinnati. And what we're doing up here with our stadium and how it's all going to be funded and built and all that stuff. And they're deciding whether or not that they're going to redo Paycor Stadium, which have you ever been in Paycor?
No.
I've been in that stadium once. It's a stadium.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is. I mean, I know we're very, very, very critical of our stadium up here. And it's built hastily and it's on the, it's like same stadium. Down there.
Yeah.
That's why I kind of make the joke about Tony Romo. I don't think he knows which city he's in. I think the stripes in the end zone help him.
You can't tell. Once you're on the private jet, you can't tell necessarily which direction it's going.
I'm willing to bet that there's times where Tony Romo, not Jim Nantz, because Jim Nantz has family here, so he has to correct it. I think there's times where Tony Romo just thinks Cleveland and Cincinnati play in the same stadium like they're the Jets and the Giants. I think he feels that way. Good stuff from Bob Haney. But the big issue also was what we heard from Chris Muller at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh about Brandon Ayuk. There's one part about whether or not he thinks they're going to get him, but there's also something here that we're not going to play for you that I have to just jump on because it's a very interesting point of view from a Steelers fan as opposed to a Browns fan. But play this first, whether or not Chris Muller thinks that they're going to get him.
My gut is that it actually does get done. I've moved off of the idea that, like, this is just a boy who cried wolf situation. I actually do think they get it done. I think that the Steelers are out, or all these stories that we're all hearing and reading about how Patriots and the Browns have made this offer or whatever. I think that's all just kind of leaking to try to gain leverage by either side, mainly the Niners on him, because I do think they feel they want to trade him. They don't want to just, I think, let him play it out for the year. That would be like their last resort. But I don't think they want to trade. They can't trade him to places. He doesn't want to go and sign a contract. So I really do actually think it gets done. And that's just because I think there has been consistent interest from the Steelers that's finally being reciprocated a little more seriously.
He also said that himself, and you can hear the entirety of that, 92.3thefan.com, as well as on the free rewind function with the Odyssey app. He also spoke about how fans in Pittsburgh, they don't think he's as good as what Pony does. It seems Pony's more excited than all the fans in Pittsburgh about Brandon Ayuk. I thought that was interesting because, you know, the Steelers don't really make a lot of big trades. I mean, Justin Fields was, what, a 6th or a 7th round pick? It's not like big blockbuster
moves.
They
did make a Minka Fitzpatrick trade.
And that was worth it, though. Yeah. I mean, he was on a rookie deal, and basically he was a 1st round pick.
But
I mean,
right.
He was a first, but you get what I'm saying.
And
he would have been used as a 1st round pick.
And normally they draft wide receivers stunningly well over time. They would never have to trade for one.
So in their history, I don't know them as a team. Like, the Browns have made some splash moves over the last, I mean, cannonballs over the last 25 years. The Steelers really haven't been there. They've also been a very successful franchise. Now, you know how I feel about the Steelers, but I also, as much as you may hate something, you have to respect it, and I also want to learn from my enemy. They always operate from a position of power. But hey, they don't have, They technically, over the course of their time, have Super Bowls fallen out of their pockets, but they haven't won one in a while. They haven't been a playoff team, a certifiable playoff team that, has won a playoff game for a while. You get what I'm pointing out here. But they've been a successful franchise. They operate from a position of power where it's we would want them, but if we're not going to get them, then so be it. A lot of fans are looking at this differently with Brandon Ayuk, where I think that they are definitely like, hey, if we can get him, great. If not, no big deal. There are some people who are absolutely beholden to the name and they have to have him. But I don't think, and this is where I hope that Andrew Berry gets in. I think he does. I'm pretty positive he does. I don't need to be giving up everything for Brandon Ayuk. We can make this thing work with one more year of Amari Cooper. And damn it, you just made a trade for Jerry Jeudy, guys. And the people who are very pro Ayuk are bringing up, well, you're going to have Jerry Jeudy next year, and then who else? You just made a trade for the guy. Wouldn't Andrew Berry have some faith in a guy he just traded for and then paid? Within a couple of weeks?
I think they think the rest of the league is sleeping on Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, so that's why I don't see an urgency to make a move for Brandon Ayuk. And with that, I have to believe that Andrew Berry doesn't see it either. And so it's hard for us. We've been so desperate for talent for a long time. And now I think at times we underrate our own talent because they're right here in our jerseys and we have a very long, bad history with guys that we've overrated in the past. Like Myles Garrett, up till just this last year, you and I were fighting a fight to convince people that Myles Garrett was a defensive all-pro and an elite player.
And now the rest of the league's telling you he's the best.
And people who call in, they'll run away from that, but we have the history of it. We had to call NFL insiders and ask whether or not Myles Garrett was elite, and they acted like we were idiots for even calling him because you and I felt that it was idiotic to say anything different about the guy. Denzel Ward, I know he has health issues, but he's been fantastic. We go down the line on these players. But that's not the history of what we've had. So when you hear about a guy like Brandon Ayuk, who comes from an organization like the San Francisco 49ers, people are just willing to give up farms for this guy. And I don't think the Browns see it that way, and I really don't think the Steelers see it that way. I don't. Browns have made some flash moves. They made the biggest move ever to go after a quarterback. It's supposed to be worth it to go after a quarterback, but anybody else,
I do want to know what you think.
There's going to be a mix here.
I mean, Mueller said he thinks he's closer to the 20th best receiver than he is being, you know, top five, where PFF had him, number two? Or something like that last year.
I disagree with Mueller on that. I think that he's a good wide receiver. I would probably put him in the top 10.
I heard Nick openly questioning, because Nick, I thought this was interesting, because I'm listening yesterday and Nick goes, well, are we even sure that Ayuk is better than Amari Cooper? Are we even sure? And the first thing I did was I'm like, what? Yeah, of course he is. And then I actually went back and looked and I'm like, I don't know that. I actually don't know that it's a for sure. He's
Mark
younger.
Cooper's had a sterling and consistent career.
Right, you know what you're going to get. And it's tough. It's tough to, like we were talking yesterday with Will Brinson, the NBA is kind of easy. You know what a guy is. You know, you can make a determination almost every time. This guy's better than that guy, and here's why. And if he gets traded to that team, here's the type of role he'll have. In the NFL, you don't know that. And when you think about it, Ayuk, as far as, you know, getting all the attention on an offense, I mean, between Christian McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle, it's so spaced out there that everybody kind of get, depending on the game, gets touches. It's tough to see it. And then you look at the stats, like, well, he had 1,300 yards last year. He was the top producer, you know, outside of McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. He's, in terms of ball catchers, receivers, and tight ends, he was the guy.
Well, not to, because I don't want to demean either one. 7 of the 10 years that I had to count again because I thought it was only 6. 7 of the 10 years that Amari Cooper spent in the NFL, he's been over 1,000 yards.
Oh, yeah.
On Ayuk's side, he's 4 years younger, and he's gotten consistently more yards and more targets as time has gone on.
Which is a good sign.
He actually got 9 less targets last year, but he had 1,300 yards as opposed to 1,000.
He was enormous last year.
He's been enormous. He's been a fantastic player for them. Both are fantastic wide receivers. Because of the age, I would have to give Ayuk a slight edge. But over the consistency, I mean, good God, you can't argue with what Amari Cooper has done throughout his career.
I think it was,
by the way,
we were all arguing how good Amari Cooper was on any of the wide receiver lists. Is he a one? Depends on your definition of a one. Okay, is he a one, what were they saying, 1B or 1.5? You know, I thought of that. So what is Ayuk? Like, what do people think he is? Because he wants to be paid like a definite number one. Not only that, not only a number one, but a top five wide receiver in the league.
Jennifer Lee Chan was on Afternoon Drive yesterday, and we have done a lot of conversation, had a lot of conversation about Brandon Ayuk and whether or not he is going to be a Cleveland Brown. And, well, she says that could all be for naught.
My money is actually on him staying with the 49ers and then going after a big contract next year. Where he's at now, I think the more time goes by where he's not taking those offers. I mean, I would think if he wanted to play for the Browns and take that high-value contract, he would have done it already. I mean, while it's still on the table and he could feasibly do that, I think the odds every day that goes by is that he does stay in with the 49ers in the Bay Area and, you know, looks to get a high-priced contract in 2025.
Is that the most obvious outcome to you? That's the way I felt. I kind of felt about that at the beginning, and then all of a sudden it seems like this has kind of gone far enough where they're going to make a trade. I don't agree with her now, but I felt about that. I was like, oh, they'll get something worked out next year or something like that, because they did this with T. Higgins a little bit. Now he's going to play on a tag, but you also have the Jamar Chase situation going on. Like, kind of like once we get to the season, it's kind of like, all right, let's pack it all in, and we'll meet at the table next year. And then things really start to come to a head. I didn't think it was going to reach this level with Brandon Ayuk. That's why I'm very surprised by all this.
Well, and then
I think it's kind of gone far enough.
Well, then there had been the reports out there that he has been wanting to go to Pittsburgh for months. That this has been a destination for him for whatever reason. Matt Maiocco last night, who was on the Afternoon Drive a few days ago. The fact the Steelers are back in talks with the 49ers toward a possible Ayuk trade shows all sides have a willingness to get something done. Negotiations and conversations continue. Basically, he and others are starting to make it seem like it's between them and the Steelers, or he's going back to San Francisco. My question is, what if it doesn't get done with the Steelers? Does Andrew Berry get back in it? Do they throw more into the trade?
You need that's a hell of a question.
What could be outgoing?
Because you got to see
how desperate are they?
Is this going to be untenable? Is this going to be a situation where, because this, do you believe the 49ers are a strong organization?
Yeah.
Then what the hell type of stink is he making that they find that they can't just work out a season with him? If this is, we got to trade him no matter what. When they were giving each other daps and hand pounds and hugs on the field, and we made the biggest damn deal about it Friday afternoon, a bunch of people did, and now all of a sudden they have to move on. What's going on here?
Well, also, we gotta point out, it's not like we can just grow these guys in a lab, like I said earlier in the show, so we can just get a rookie or get anybody else. They did offer him $25 million. They did
That's a nice amount of money.
They did reportedly offer him $25 million to stay with the 49ers. So it's not like they don't think he is not of value at all. They just are unwilling to go up to 30, which their cap situation, I obviously don't follow it as closely. Remember, they've been better longer than we have, so their bills have been due now for a while, and they've got more coming up. Remember, Brock Purdy is, you know, his contract situation.
Well, you got Trent Williams, who's he's not even their biggest priority. Trent Williams is their biggest priority because they got to protect Brock Purdy, and Trent Williams, while he's older than a lot of guys, he's an all-pro future Hall of Famer, and they think that he can do it for 3-4 more years even, to approach 39 years old. So he's their first priority. Brock Purdy would be their second priority because he's just going to fall in line with that. And then it would be Brandon Ayuk. So he's not even on that level right now. So that's why I have to ask, is he making such a stink that if it were to come back to him, it's like, man, we're not getting any value from Pittsburgh out of this. Can't we just work on something together here? Or if it were to be, we can't have this guy in our locker room. This is going to poison the waters. Well, do I really want something like that? We're supposed to be a powerful franchise now, or a franchise that's on more stable footing right now.
You already heard what Christian McCaffrey said. Called him an ex-teammate. It was a slip of the tongue, but you get it.
Brad in San Diego, California, listening on the Free Odyssey app. You're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Brad.
Hey, guys. If you look at it from a Brandon Ayuk standpoint, if Browns versus Steelers, wouldn't you think that the Browns are going to have a much more pass-happy offense, so he's going to have a lot more opportunity than an Arthur Smith-led Pittsburgh Steeler offense. And then second, from a financial standpoint, we're talking about a franchise that battled for weeks and months with T.J. Watt. So they're not going to offer him the type of money that Cleveland will. So I just think that when we're looking at it from a Brandon Ayuk standpoint, it has to be obvious to him, right?
Of which, to go to Pittsburgh or to go to Cleveland or stay in San Francisco?
No, no. If you're going to choose between Cleveland and Pittsburgh, I just feel like Cleveland would be obvious in that from those two standpoints. Not only football opportunity, but also financial opportunity.
I would say yes, but if it's true what Lima's saying, where he's been pining to go to Pittsburgh for such a long time, if you have an idea in your head, I mean, if the Browns were to offer him just that much more money, then you got to do what's financially possible to you. But if he's got that idea in his head, I can't change that idea, Brad. It would make sense to you and me, but not. I don't know if it's going to make sense to him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it really all does come down to the difference in the contracts between the two. I think that's going to be the end game of it. But when I look at it, maybe I'm just thinking too simplistically and with a little bit of a Browns homerism. But I feel like Cleveland just makes so much more sense.
Because my first thought
Steelers
would be
have
if
a
we're
lot
trying
more
to
cap space for next year, though. They do. I mean, Browns
yes, they do.
Right now are 30 over the cap, and I believe it was presented that the Steelers have $90 million available.
If they were, quote-unquote, using us, we talked about that yesterday. Say they were using us to drive the price up on Pittsburgh. They know that people are going to start beating tables going, well, I don't want Pittsburgh to get them. We want wide receivers. We get wide receivers. If you're Andrew Berry, do you knock that rumor down? Do you knock it right down? I don't know if you do. I don't think you do. I think I remain open-minded to everything. Amari Cooper, as great as he's been, and I know I don't want to raise a stink with him. Like, there are people going, how do I mend fences with Amari Cooper in the locker room? I pay him his money, I give him his paycheck, and he goes out there and plays football. That's what Amari Cooper's done. Amari Cooper's won it out of other places before. He hasn't even won it out here, but he's won it out of other places before. Work it out. Let's pay him his money. Let's move on. He's a professional. He acts professionally in here. He doesn't make a stink. Plus, if I'm Andrew Berry, I don't know, maybe you do come up with something. Maybe you don't get what's out there with Pittsburgh. And so you float this rumor out there about Cleveland because Cleveland and Pittsburgh are rivals and one of the few rivals in the NFL. Maybe you make an offer that I do like about Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. What's the point of knocking that rumor down? Hey, Amari Cooper's a big boy. He can handle it. He's an adult. He's 30. He knows how this business is. He's been traded twice, for crying out loud.
Yeah, this has been a roller coaster, though, of an offseason for Amari. I mean, from the attempt to get, you know, money on the contract, to get future guarantees and more years with the Browns, a place that he seemed pretty happy with, and now he's being referenced in a lot of speculation, not coming from the Browns, obviously, but you do wonder what Amari feels about that. But he is a pro. Like, I don't think that's going to make him mail it in this season or anything like that.
You just
do wonder the emotional toll that could play on some athlete.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.